In the meeting, let's have a moment of quiet meditation and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity.
God, grant me the serenity.
To accept the things,
I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can.
And wisdom to know thy will, not mine. Amen.
I assume that I'm not alone at this. Meeting this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Oh, yes, I'm here.
We're out there.
Hey, everyone. I'm here.
Please use this meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, your phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is HOW? Would someone like to read this? You don't have to be a sponsor to read it.
If you could also raise your hand if you are able to do this.
Ooh, thank you, Howard. Going once, going twice.
Oh, hey, yeah. Sheila, I can take and read that.
Well, thanks, Sheila. All right. What is HOW? Sheila, did we lose you? I think she's frozen. I'll read it for us to get us started. What is HOW? HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous.
It looks like Bill. Let me see if Bill is able to do this.
Ooh, thank you, Howard.
I will unmute him.
Thank you. I'm absolutely brand new, so I don't have that document with me, so I can't read anything right now.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Bill, for trying. We appreciate it.
Howard, I can read it.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is Jane, compulsive overeater. Oh, I'll turn my video on.
Hi, Jane.
Hey. All right. Reading number one, what is HOW? Okay. HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviewing a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HOW sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane.
Would someone please read the only requirement?
I can read it if nobody else has signed up, Heather.
Thank you, Carrie. Go for it.
Kelly has signed up here.
Okay. Just kidding.
Hi, sorry about that.
Hey, Kelly, thank you.
Hey, Kelly, welcome.
Yeah, I did it last minute. Kelly. I tricked everyone. Okay. I'm Kelly from Pennsylvania, compulsive overeater. Reading two, the only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the how concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this afternoon by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, quote, "We understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he, she is a member is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms." Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Would someone please read the how concept?
Okay, I think I signed up for that one, unless somebody beat me to it.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
The how concept. The Overeaters Anonymous how meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery, a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of the program, the 12 steps, and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of our tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscious and the love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and the daily adherence to the program, as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure that our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we've never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands God, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifest on this meeting. Amen.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie. Would someone like to read reflections for the newcomer?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara.
Tamara, welcome.
Hey, Tamara.
Thank you. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are also glad that you've decided to be a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is very disciplined. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning our sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord with all those things going around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If a newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor.
The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. From the doctor's opinion, the Big Book, page 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor in all self-honesty must release all sponsees to continue his or her own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he or she does not experience. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive eating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we could never have done before. Never done by for ourselves. May God, as each of us understand him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifest in this room. Pass.
Thanks, Tamara.
Thank you, Tamara.
Thank you, Tamara. Well, I guess I'll move on. Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Yes, this is Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Pamela.
Hey, Pamela. Welcome.
I need to get my reading here. I'm sorry. Well, I had it a minute ago. No, I don't want to leave. Can you get someone else to read it? Because I can't pull it up right now. I read it off the computer.
Would someone like to read the excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12 today?
Hey, this is Megan. Heather, I can do that.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
You're welcome. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 and, of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous, page 9 through 11. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things that no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off of the floor, off of the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, families, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all of the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than the other diets. Oops, just lost my spot. There we go. The other diets we had been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but inevitably we lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain. Then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our, quote, ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in the feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
I'm Jacintha, gratefully covering this program. Chapter 5.
Hi there.
Welcome.
Thank you. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Oops. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Jacintha.
Thank you.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 steps.
Kelly,
welcome.
Hi, thank you. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order. I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Was someone read the 12 traditions of the program?
Yes. Hi, this is Rena, compulsive overeater. Hi.
Hi, Rena.
Hello.
Hi, Rena. Welcome.
Hey, Rena.
Thank you. Very happy and grateful to be here. Okay, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Rena.
Thank you, Rena.
Thank you, Rena.
Welcome.
All right, the tools of recovery. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
Really, Heather?
No.
Wow.
I like how the
no prompt kidding.
Yeah, I like how the prompt here says pause, by the way. So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? It's a fun job. That's actually my favorite.
They can also raise their hand if they can't unmute.
Heather, I can do that. This is Megan in Virginia.
Oh, thank you, Megan.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Megan. We really appreciate it. So participants will receive timing prompts via the chat. All right. Abstinence plan of eating. Would an OA House sponsor like to read abstinence plan of eating for us?
I have Revitel down for that.
Great, Revitel.
I believe Revitel is not attending right now.
Oh no. Well, is there another OA House sponsor who feels ready to read a pitch on Abstinence Plan of Eating this evening. I'll do it, actually. I like this tool.
I can do it, Heather.
So then
you don't have to do it twice, but give me a second. I got to pull my stuff from my kitchen. I live in 500 square feet, so just give me a second here.
Heather, go ahead.
Oh,
I'll start it. Carrie, why don't I start it and Carrie, you pitch on it? How does that sound? Okay, I'll read it. All right, this is the first tool, Plan of Eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The HOW disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. HOW abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to Black abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in HOW. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. Number one, we do not write our own food plans. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Number two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. Number three, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. And here is where I'm going to verbally describe what I do with my abstinence kit. Yes, since this was a last minute decision, I don't have it in front of me. I'm going to virtually describe my abstinence kit. So, you want to do it, Carrie? Jump in. Yes, if you've got visuals, awesome.
Oh, okay. All right. So the main thing that we use is we weigh and measure our food. And so I use a digital scale a lot of times for weighing and measure, actually 99.9% of the time. And with that, I put my food on there and then I push tear and then I put my next food on there and I push tear. And so you can stack your food on it. I became obsessed with purchasing scales. So I think I have like 5 of them. This is good. It's a scale where it's like an old school scale with no batteries, no anything like that. And it's great in Minnesota because it gets cold, so it doesn't freeze. And this is an option, but most people have digital. And we have our measuring cup. And so what we do for our measuring cups is we put our rice in there and either you're a stuffer or a fluffer, right? So if you're a stuffer, you stuff it all down. If you're a fluffer, then you just pour it in there and it just is fluffy. Whatever way you do it, just do it the same way every time, right? And then we take our straight edge. I use a knife and then get it off the top. And everything that's inside is mine and everything that's outside is not mine. So then I take a spatula and I put it on my plate or whatever I do with it. I use a lot of teaspoons for oil and peanut butter. And so I take the spatula and, like I said, everything in the inside is mine. So I can lick this spatula, which gives me some sort of satisfaction still being in the HOW program, but licking something. But I also use a straight edge to make sure that this teaspoon is straight on. So I think that's it. And then the phone, we use the phone 4 times a day at least to call our sponsor and to call three other fellows. And that just keeps us accountable if we, that's it, time's up. Go on with the rest of the reading, Heather.
Sure, thank you so much, Carrie. All right, number 4, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. Number five, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. Number six, we do not drink alcohol. Number seven, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed fifth or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision. Okay. Carrie, you want to share on it?
Okay, yep, I can do it. So the plan of eating helps me a lot. About a year ago, I was at my bottom. I just got divorced. I just was I wasn't getting along with my family, so I was estranged from my family. I could keep very few friends. I was suicidal, and I was having problems at work. I lived in a small apartment, and I was really lonely. So I knew I needed a program, and I knew I needed a structured program because that works best with the way my brain works. Because I can make things confusing as a compulsive person, not only a compulsive over and under eater. I have a lot of different compulsions, including my thinking. So I can ruminate on things and I can create a big mess for myself. So the structured program, what that gives me is I commit my food and then I don't have to think about it the rest of the day. And before I started the program, I was thinking about food all the time. So my food in the morning that I would go get my coffee drink almost every day for 1 year, which was expensive and it wasn't good for me. But now that I had to commit my food, then all of a sudden it got a lot easier for me to eat healthier. And like I said, I just didn't have to think about it. And now, well, I take that back. At the beginning, I did have to think about it. It was like a full-time job when I first started, but it does get easier. People always said it gets easier. I thought it was a bunch of malarkey, but it does get easier. So I just kept at it, and now I can think about my new job. I can think about my friends. I can think about being of service to other people who need it, like newcomers. And I don't have to think about the food as much. So that's what the structure of the program gave me. It reduced that food chaos almost 95%. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
Would a two-hour OA House sponsor like to read and pitch on the tool of sponsorship?
Sure, Heather. This is Maureen A. from Virginia.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi. Tool 2, sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction, finding a sponsor who has what you want and ask for how to achieve it. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A HAL sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HAL program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HAL concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. And I started out in traditional OA and had two wonderful sponsors there. But when I joined OA How this past January, I was blessed enough to find a sponsor who I just really enjoy talking with each morning. She is patient and positive, and I call her my cheerleader. And I look forward to speaking with her. And I also have had two sponsees since joining OA How. And I have always felt that God is speaking through them, through all of them. And it's just such a delight to, with my sponsee, be reminded of what, you know, the program I've already come through. And with my sponsor to be guided, you know, as I continue on this journey. And it just brightens my morning to know that I'm going to be able to speak with both my sponsor and my sponsee. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thank you, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen.
Thanks, Maureen. Thanks,
Maureen.
It is time for our sponsor line. For the sake of time, will all How and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following. Number one, how long in OA and How? Number two, how long abstinent in OA or How? And number three, how much weight lost or gained? This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel or pressing star and 9 on your phone or just start your video. When it's your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. All right.
Chris J.
Hi, Chris J. here from Sterling Heights, Michigan. I joined OA How in January 2005. I had a slip and recommitted. My black and white abstinence date is July 26, 2007, and I've maintained a 123-pound weight loss.
Anne Marie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Anne Marie. I'm a compulsive overeater. I joined OA back in 2014. My current abstinent date is March 11, 2020. I have released 150 pounds.
Mary G.
Okay, can you hear me?
Go ahead, Mary.
Okay, this is Mary G. I'm in St. Paul, Minnesota. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012. I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Tamara?
Hi, my name is Tamara. I came into traditional OA in 2016. Heard about the How program. By the grace of God and the miracles of this program, my abstinence date is April 3rd of 2017. I have been relieved of over 97 pounds from my top weight, 75 pounds lost in the How program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2020. Thank you.
Maureen A.
Hi, everyone. Maureen A., compulsive overeater. I joined traditional OA back in March of 2019, and I became sugar abstinent. Then I joined OA How in January of this year, became fully abstinent, and have released 50 pounds. With that, I pass.
Kelly C.
Hi, my name is Kelly C. from Pennsylvania. I joined OA How in December of 2019, which is also my back-to-back abstinence date, and I have been relieved of 35 pounds. Thank you.
Heidi.
Hi, I'm Heidi C., a compulsive overeater. I originally came to How in October 2007, lost 150 pounds and kept it off for almost 7 years. And then I chose to leave the program. I returned 2.5 years later, 110 pounds up, and I am currently down 70 pounds.
Christina.
Hey, everyone. It's Christina in New Mexico.
I am an OA How 2-hour sponsor. My abstinence date's June 2017, maintaining about a 50-pound weight loss. So glad to be here. Thanks.
Marlena W.
Hi, I'm Marlena, and I'm a 2-hour How sponsor. And I've been in OA over 40 years in and out, but I've been in How about 4 years. My recommitted abstinence date is 4/22/20. And I'm down at this point about 50 something pounds from my top weight. And I do have an opening, and my preferred call time would be 6:15 a.m. Pacific time. And my phone number is 510-306-6234.
Pamela?
Hi, my name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict. I came in January 22nd, 2017. My recommitment date is June 15th, 2017. I'm on maintenance now, and my weight loss or gain is between my higher power, my sponsor, my doctor, and my nutritionist.
My pastor. Sheila? Jane?
Hi everyone, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater on Vancouver Island in Canada. And I came into regular OA in about 2010. And I struggled for a number of years until I found How last September 19th, 2019. And I have been abstinent ever since. And I have lost about 14 pounds. And I will pass. Thanks.
Nancy D.
Hello, everyone. Nancy D, compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of OA How in September of 2017. My back-to-back abstinence date is July 3rd of 2018. And I've been relieved of 108 pounds. I pass.
Sheila.
Hi, I'm Sheila, a critical level binge eater. I came directly into How in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds. Pass.
Ruth.
Hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm an OA How sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss.
Debbie Z.
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I came into the rooms of How in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I am maintaining 120-pound weight loss, and I pass.
Jacinta?
Hi, I'm Jacinta in New York, and I came into OA How in August of 2019. My back-to-back abstinence date is September 15th, 2019, and I have lost 35 pounds. Thank you.
Megan.
Hi, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm an OA How sponsor. A compulsive overeater. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds since recommitting to this program from a relapse, and I am at maintenance today, and I pass.
Rebecca B.
Hi, I'm Rebecca B. I'm a compulsive overeater in Ohio. I'm a sponsor in the OA 2-hour, the 2-hour OA How meeting format, and I came into regular OA in 2013. Came to OA How after a relapse, February of 2019. And my current abstinence date's from February 9th, 2020. I have lost a total of 110 pounds, 70 of which was in OA How, and I'm now at maintenance weight. I do have an opening for a sponsee. Again, this is Rebecca B. in Ohio. That's Eastern Standard Time. My number is 440-567-6537. My information's in the chat. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Carrie. I'm a compulsive over and under eater from Minnesota. And I came into the rooms of OA Howe 10 months ago, and I've been relieved of 35 pounds. I do have a sponsee opening, and my phone number is 320-267-5159. And I'll also put that in the chat. And also, are there any other sponsors on the line, on the phone line? I think you push.
I'm Stephanie. I'm a compulsive overeater from Minneapolis. I started in OA in the 1990s. I got into HOW in 2013. Some up and down abstinence, but I've been abstinent since May 5th of this year, and I have down 52 pounds. Thanks.
Any other sponsors on the phone? Press star 6 or star 9. All right, go ahead, Heather.
Thank you, sponsors. Okay, my name is Heather. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater and food addict, 2-hour OA Howe sponsor. Came into Howe in August of 2019. Gosh, it's almost been a year. My latest recommitment back-to-back abstinence date is May 14th of 2020. I'm on maintenance, down 35 pounds from my top weight, up 30 pounds from my low weight. All right, clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Would an OA Howe sponsor like to read and pitch on the tool of anonymity?
Hi, my name is Pamela, compulsive overeater and 2-hour Howe.
Hi, Pamela.
Hi.
Hi, Pamela.
Anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with an other OA member, we will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Excuse me. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time honestly who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we need wrong, what we did wrong, sorry. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. What you hear here, what you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. Here. Okay. Anonymity is very important to me. I'm not only a member of this group and an OA How. I'm a longtime member of another 12-step program, and I've seen anonymity kill. When you start talking about somebody, it gets back to them somehow, some way. You know, I experienced that a little bit today in my assisted living facility. And that was one of the things I was very fearful of when I first, when we first started thinking about moving here, is getting caught up in the gossip. I grew up in a gossipy household, and I've also had seen gossip kill people. They go back out and eat, they go back out and drink, because they heard something come back to them in the rooms. And it's very important that we keep their anonymity. That's why I love OA House so much, is because it's told to us right from the beginning that we don't tell who our sponsors are. We don't tell who we're sponsoring. And when we call and have a problem with someone, we don't mention their names. And we keep it discreet. Sorry?
Lucky I didn't come in at all.
I have a minute. I'm sorry. I don't know how much time.
Keep going.
Okay.
Pamela.
Thank you. So, you know, in my early years of my recovery, I saw this happen, and I didn't want it to happen to me, but I couldn't get over the gossip. I was brought up with that, and it took me to come into OA how to let that go. And it's been such a relief for me not to have to get into the gossip of who's doing what and with who it's very, I found it very judgmental for me in the other program, because, you know, you hear how bad some of these sponsors are, and you said you wouldn't ask them to be your sponsor with a 10-foot pole. Well, here, I don't know what experience these other sponsors have, and I've had to have several. Thank you. My time is up, so I thank you very much for letting me share and be part of the meeting.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thank you. Would an OA House sponsor like to read and pitch on the tool of telephone calls?
Hi, it's Christina. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I am going to pitch and read on telephone. Tool for telephone.
Hi, Christina.
Hi. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. the telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors. And as part of the surrender process is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In OA How, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor, and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk basis on a daily basis. The telephone is our timeline. I'm Christina, I live in New Mexico. I'm a compulsive overeater. And, you know, I've been, I think I first came to OA How in 2015, it's about 5 years ago. And since then, my life has just been extraordinarily transformative. And I've lived in 4 different US states in a different country. And throughout all that time, I've been able to do program and stay rooted and connected. And it's really the tool of the telephone that makes that possible. I've only had like 2 sponsors during that time. And a lot of the people that I talk to almost daily today are the people that I've been talking to for years. And throughout all of the ups and downs and changes and meanderings and growth spurts and stalls, I've had people alongside me that entire time. And I've been able to walk alongside other people through their transformative journeys too. And I think that's one of the really beautiful things about the telephone is I can be anywhere in the world and still connect with people. I think if there's one thing I would have done differently is that with respect to this particular tools, when I first came to program, I think I was kind of overwhelmed by just all of the tools and how we have to do so many things, which are also good for us. But at the beginning, it takes a while to get into a rhythm. And also, I think I was a little bit attached to my schedule. And so I was mostly just talking to people who were available at a time that was convenient to me. And so I actually spent several months in program talking to folks who weren't exactly my kindred spirits. And I think if there's one thing I've learned is that it's been important for me to find my people in program and then organize my life and my schedule around them and really prioritize the relationships, because this program is just an extraordinary journey of awakening, and it gets hairy at times and delightful too. And we want to have people that we can share that with, and also vice versa. And so I'm a little less attached to my schedule and the way things want to go, need to go for me. And I'm a little more attached to specific people who I know are kindred spirits and can show up for me, and I can show up for them. So I'm just really grateful for how this tool has taught me how to care for myself and care for others and let go a little bit of my schedule. All right, and I'll pass with that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Christina.
Thank you, Christina.
Thanks, Christina.
Would an OA House sponsor like to read and pitch on the tool of meetings?
Hello everyone, Nancy D, compulsive overeater, and I'll be pitching on tool number 5, meeting.
Hi Nancy.
Hey Nancy.
Hi everyone. Hey. Hello. Hello. Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to meetings. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least 1 HOW meeting a week. So again, Nancy D, compulsive eater and compulsive overeater. And a couple of things that I noticed. One, as I was reading, I was thinking, hey, I have micro meetings daily. You know, I think about the calls with the other fellows and how we get an opportunity. And that's another thing that I noticed is that opportunity has been mentioned many times this evening. And I am finding that these opportunities that I'm taking, as in participating in this meeting, are ways for me to exert effort in my recovery, to participate in my recovery. And again, tonight I confirm and also identify with everyone here. And I'm so thankful for realizing that I'm not alone and that there is a program. And I celebrate my recovery tonight. So thank you all, and I pass. Thank you for meetings.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Nancy.
Thanks, Nancy.
Would an OA House sponsor like to read and pitch on the tools of literature and writing?
Hi, this is Sheila, a compulsive overeater in Minnesota.
Hey, literature, Sheila. Welcome.
Hey, Sheila.
Literature and writing. Literature. We study the book, textbook, Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book, to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions for today, for daily meditation, and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses upon us certain basic truths that we have found vital in our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it, and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing. In addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has become an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. So this is a tool that, you know, I hesitated at first when I came into program. I was never one that really cared much for writing and didn't care much for reading either. And it's really one of those tools that has just been, I've just really like learned a lot. I've learned a lot about myself from this, using these tools. And I think at first I remember, you know, even saying to my sponsor, you know, something along the line, like, you know, I'm just not sure that this is good enough. And she just kept reminding me that whatever it was that I had written down on that piece of paper is what I was supposed to have written down that day. We're not graded on our writing. We're not told our writing isn't good enough or that it should have been longer or it should have been shorter. It is what it is. And, you know, in the writing here, kind of one of the things that I had read, it said, when we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. And that is one of the things that I've just really been doing a lot with, is just really putting down those thoughts and feelings, putting them down on paper. And so many times I say it just helps me get those feelings and emotions like out of my head, and they come out my hand, out through my pen onto the paper, that I no longer need to carry them inside of me. One of the things I just wanted to share with you, you know, I listed off a whole bunch of different, read off a bunch of pieces of literature that we take and use. And I just want to share with you what I'm working from now. I'm actually reading this, the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. It's the second edition. Just love this book. So I'm actually reading out of this book. And then there is a companion workbook. And I do one question a day. And so you can kind of see here, there's like three questions. Maybe you can't see very well. There's like three questions on each page. And there is a page number with like a corresponding, the page to read for that corresponding question. And just love doing this because it's just really kind of a guided way. I'm asked a question about what I've read, and then I can answer it. And that's just been really fun to do. And I'm currently working on step 8.
So anyways, just this tool has really grown on me and has just really become a very important part of my program. And, you know, just don't know where I would be without it. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila.
Would an OA House sponsor like to read and pitch on the tool of service?
I'm signed up for that. And my name is Marlena. And so carrying the message, compulsive overeater who's still suffering. Hi. Is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as the result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise, always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. And in many ways, I had a really hard childhood, but one of the really gifts I had was the modeling of a mother who did service. And there's a marsh that still exists in the village I grew up in because she got out there and saved it from the developers because she loved birds. And that, you know, set me up for just wanting to contribute to the world in ways. You know, now it's said that we have a basic need to give, to contribute to others. And sometimes that kind of gets drummed out of us, but we do have a basic need to give. And service in the 12-step program is what keeps the meetings going. I'm very grateful for those who have been very active in this meeting. It exists because of people's hard work. And it's a way to give back, you know, in the native traditions of the people whose origins are this country. There's a lot of emphasis on giving back, like when you take something to offer a gift to, and it's a way to have that reciprocity of giving back. And it also can really strengthen our own sense of confidence, you know, that when we, you know, do something that supports this fellowship, it not only, it can help us feel good about ourselves at the same time that it builds a strong program. So when we're having a hard time, we have a strong program to fall back on. So thank you.
Thanks, Marlena.
Thanks, Marlena.
Marlena.
Thank you.
All right. So will all people doing service for OA at any level, please stand, e-stand, and applaud.
Yay, service.
This Minnesota OA How Life meeting is a friendly place, and we do want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line, or press star and 6 on your telephone's keypad, and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. Sorry, I got muted. I don't know where I left off, so I'll back up a bit. What I mean to say is thank you for muting the line, moderators. We appreciate you so much. Let me back up a bit. If you're attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line, or press star and 6 on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call. You can also leave this in the chat feature. Would anyone like to say hello?
Hello, my name is Jillian. This is my first time at OA. I'm very proud to be here, and I'm from Norwich, Connecticut. And my phone number, I'm at Eastern Time, and my phone number is 860-961-0789, and I'll put it in the chat.
Thank
Welcome, Jillian.
Welcome, Jillian.
Welcome.
Thank you. No pass. Sorry.
Any other newcomers out there?
Hi, my name is Bill. I'm from South Dakota. I can't enable my video because the host has stopped it, it says, but I'm here and I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Bill.
Welcome, Bill. Oh, there you are. Hi, Bill.
Glad you're here.
Hi, Bill. Welcome.
We're glad you're here. Thank you, Bill. Anyone else? Welcome, Jillian and Bill. Well, this meeting also has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_name_state_city. And I think someone had done that. Oh, yes, Karen. Thank you, Karen. Anyone else want to say hello before we move on? Going once, going twice. Okay. Well, we are glad, Jillian and Bill, that you are here, and we are glad everyone is here this evening. Howard, so we're not doing a treasurer's report this evening?
Correct.
Okay, so we'll move on. I'll read about our seventh tradition, though, because that was posted in the chat. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. In addition, a link was included in the chat. Thank you, Howard, for the prompting. And tonight, we've got a choice between reading the promises or we've got some bad news for you. I'm going to read the promises. Those never get old. The promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and economic security will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them, from the Big Book, pages 83 through 84. Okay, are there any announcements?
Megan? Hey, y'all, this is Megan. Thank you, Heather. Quick announcement, I'm one of the folks who looks for speakers, and we have August coming up. We need a speaker on August 11th. And then we are also looking for speakers for September. So if you have a anniversary coming up or a special day in your program, or you just need to give service because you need to keep giving it on, keep passing it on, you can't keep it yourself, you can give me a call. I'm going to put all the information in the chat and reach out, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Any other announcements this evening?
This is Carrie, and I send out the email each week, and I just want to make an announcement that we have a couple volunteer opportunities. One is the volunteer opportunities to help increase our ASL. The people who attend this meeting that really can use the ASL interpretation, and so we need some more people who are interested in volunteering for that. And then the second thing is we need a intergroup rep, and so we need an intergroup rep to represent this meeting for all of the virtual groups within OEHOW. So if you're interested in that, reply to the meeting, reply to the email, or you can give me a call. My number
and name is in the chat. It's Carrie from Minnesota. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks, Carrie.
Any other announcements this evening? Okay. Thank you again, Megan and Carrie. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It's now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may press the medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. So would anyone like a medallion? Okay.
Hi. Hi,
hello.
I'm Nancy.
Hi, Nancy.
Overeater.
Hey, Nancy.
60 days.
Oh my goodness! Congratulations.
Hey, Nancy.
Yay.
Nancy. Hey,
Nancy.
Congratulations.
Yes. Virtual. Yay!
Way to go.
60 days. Virtual chips. Want a e medallion? This evening?
Chris?
Chris? Oh. Muted. You're muted, Chris.
Oh, okay. How about now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, Chris J. from Sterling Heights, Michigan. I'm celebrating, well, I celebrated 13 years of abstinence last Sunday.
Wow,
hey,
yay!
Chris.
Yes.
Yeah, Chris.
That is amazing. Right. Congratulations. Thank you for telling us that. Miracle. Miracle.
Stephanie?
Stephanie, I think you're muted. And Karen? Oh, well, I can't find Karen. Hold on. There you are.
Yes. Hi, this is Karen. Can you see me? Okay, great. I have 35 days today.
Yay!
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 Woo!
Yay! That is amazing. Congratulations, Karen. Congratulations, Karen. We're so glad you're here. Oh, this is great. Anyone else? Don't want to miss anyone. Okay. Well, congratulations, Nancy, Chris, and Karen. One last round of applause. Oh, that's wonderful.
Yay! Good job.
Miracle, right, everybody? Howard informed us there's no step-ups or anniversaries this evening, but for the benefit of our amazing newcomers, I'm going to read this so we can all familiarize ourselves with what step-ups and anniversaries are. Step-ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. So we don't have any step-ups this evening. And then anniversaries, anniversaries are birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. This is from the OA group handbook, page 10. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. So we have no anniversaries we're celebrating tonight that we're aware of, but
we would have a reading after that.
Heather, did we ask for Chips of Desire?
No, thank you, Howard. I thought I was missing something. I got so excited about hearing the length. Forgive me, everyone. This is my first time leading, can you tell? And would anyone like a Chip of Desire this evening? I'm so sorry this is late. How embarrassing.
Maybe explain what?
A Chip of Desire is, it doesn't mean, well, I forgot the exact language, but it doesn't mean that you're committing to abstinence. It just means that you like something you heard or appreciated something you saw on the sponsor line. So would anyone like a Chip of Desire this evening? Going once, going twice. Okay. It all starts with a Chip of Desire. Thank you again, Howard. Can't forget that. Attendees, if you have an upcoming step up or anniversary, you can sign up to celebrate your step up or anniversaries via the link on our website. Oh, okay. So the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. I guess that's me. I'll set my timer as well.
Heather, can I time for you? This is Megan.
Yes, yes, thank you, Megan. I was just gonna ask, can I have 5 minutes and 1 minute, please?
Absolutely, you got it.
Thank you, Megan. All right, well, good evening again, everyone. My name is still Heather. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. And hi, everyone, and thank you for the hellos. They do make a difference. It has been a delight to serve you in this meeting, even though it has not been perfect, but thank goodness this program is about progress and not perfection, right? I came into HAL a year ago. I'm new to 12 steps. And so the structure of HAL, these speaking portions work for the benefit of our newcomers. We discuss what it was like, what happened, and what we're like now. So what it was like, my story's a bit different. Well, I don't know. When I was a little, I was the youngest in my class, and I was also the shortest in my class by a lot. I grew 8 inches my junior year or senior year of high school. I can't remember. I only remember that year because I had all these body parts all over the place. I was just hitting walls and everything. I mentioned that because I was very tiny, and I was also super active. I was in every sport all the time. Looking back, it's because I didn't feel safe being at home. So I always had an excuse to leave the house. And also I just got the feeling that I really wasn't wanted at home. I was just in the way and I was a burden. So I was super active all the time in all these sports. And I come from a super high achieving family, which is a good thing on the outside looking in, but internally that's another addiction too, of the approval seeking. And you know, you've got to be number one at everything, and only being number one is acceptable, and everything else, you know, second place is the first loser, Heather, and just stuff like that. And so it's a recipe for disaster. But I was always eating, and I never thought about it because I was, again, the shortest, the youngest, the smallest, and super active. So I was always eating, and I never thought about food. I just couldn't get enough of it. But I do remember at family holiday events, you know, my grandparents particularly, they would make 3 pies, 2 for me and 1 for the rest of the family, and I would eat them all. And in addition to the meal and, you know, this, that, and the other, but I was so active, and it just didn't matter. But in late high school, I'm embarrassed to admit this, but this is my story. The first time I was intimate with a boy, I never heard from him again. And I just stopped eating. I don't remember actively or consciously trying to stop eating, but I learned this. I used to teach preschool, and I learned this from being around children. Children, when they're very high emotionally, sadness, happiness, whatever, they just don't eat, right? They're so caught up in the emotion, like many of us are, they just don't think about food. I think that's what happened, but I didn't know that at the time, because again, we are not allowed to feel in my family. I was actually told, I'm still told to this day, Heather, you realize no one's going to like you unless you're happy and full of joy, right? So you were not allowed to be sad. You were not allowed to be down. You were not allowed to be just okay. You had to just be fine. And anger was absolutely illegal. Anger was not allowed under any circumstances. And so, because that it was it just, we're also an addiction-ridden family. We're an overachieving family, but also lots of addictions in there. So all that to say, I didn't know who to talk to about being so sad and upset. And my two best friends from childhood, one moved to Kuwait and the other moved to Japan. So when you're little, you don't understand that your friend's parents have a new job. The common denominator here is me. So it must be me. So I didn't really have any friends, even being all these different sports, friendships were very shallow. But food was always my friend. Food was always there. Those two pies and all those cakes and, you know, all the stuff that we do, that cookie never rejected me. And, but that boy did. And so I stopped eating. But within 2 weeks, I was already small, but within 2 weeks, I lost all this weight, even more. I wasn't even trying, but I got all this attention that I never knew I always wanted from my parents, especially my father, who still to this day calls me fat. I don't know another word for it. And from my parents, from my family, from boys. And so my story started with anorexia. And so I just wouldn't eat for days and weeks. And so I figured out the formula of, okay, if I don't eat, my body will look like this and I will get this attention or I will achieve this, because it's all about achievement. And so I'd figured out the formula to life, and it worked until it didn't. And then a few interventions from teams and coaches and whatever. This was about 6 years. Thank you, Megan. And and then after this went on through high school and college, but after college, when I moved to the Northeast, that's when the other end came in. Of, oh my gosh, I can eat now, all this food. And then I got a sales job, and all you do with sales is you take people to meals. So I think I gained, I don't know, 40, 50 pounds within 4 to 6 months or something like that. And so put up with all these wonderful comments from my family about how big I was getting. I mean, I don't even want to go into all that. But so for years, my pattern was I would binge, eat everything in the house all night, even if I didn't like it. My favorite thing to do was to go to the grocery store and buy, I've said this many times, 2 to 4 birthday cakes, usually 2 or 3. And I would eat them in my car all by myself. And I never stole food because I always thought, well, I'm going to buy this myself so I can eat it all myself. So I have the right to eat it when I want it. So I would eat all those cakes in my car, crying. It just got to the point where I was crying all the time and then throwing them away in different dumpsters so no one would know what I did. And then I wouldn't eat for a day or 2 or 3. And then if I did eat the next day, I would just explode all over again. So that was my favorite thing. And the other favorite thing was I could those family sized cans of peanut butter, I could eat 5 or 6 of them in one sitting. And I remember, and it just got worse and worse because you can't even roll over at night because your body hurts so much, your stomach's so distended. And your extremities are so swollen, you can't even roll over, crying, just, is this it? Is this all there is to life? And I mean, my God, I guess this is it. And and I couldn't tell anyone about this because I didn't see anybody else acting this way. And this became very difficult as a salesperson because when you binge like that and then I'm thinking, I'm not going to eat today, but I've got to take 2 clients to eat, it just became very complicated. And and then I remember telling a friend of mine, explaining my eating habits, and she stopped me and she said, Heather, you can't gain 12 pounds in one sitting. That's impossible. And I said, I know it's impossible, but I'm telling you, I've done it multiple times. And so my pattern became, I don't know how long this went on, years, I would weigh 50 pounds heavier in the winter than I did in the summer every year. So that's 100 pounds you're toggling between every year. That's really good for your heart, right? So but I just thought that was normal because look at our diet culture. That's just what's normal. What happened was I actually came into, there's a 2 part to the story. In October of 2017, I went on a week-long binge, and I found a book online in the middle. It was one of those nights, you know, you can't sleep, you're crying all the time. And I just remember, I remember that binge because I was crying the whole time for days. And I found a book online. It was a free book. I can't remember the name of it. And I read it. It was a very short, it was more of a booklet. And it was our story. It was by a fellow in program. And I emailed her the next day because she wrote about blacking out in the kitchen. I've done that before. And just, she wrote her story. And I emailed her. She emailed me back. She said, Heather, you have to get into OA How. And I said, well, what on earth is that? I didn't know anything about 12-step recovery, you know, addiction, whatever. And I'd been addicted to alcohol and just addicted to relationships, for lack of a better term. But that kind of weaned, it all boiled down to the food, or it all kind of just molded into the food. And she said, and I told her, I don't need to go to a meeting. I mean, I do have friends trying to lose their baby weight. You know, we're all trying to lose weight together. She said, no, no, you are sick. You have a disease. You have to go to a meeting. So I went to a How meeting here locally, and it's a 1 hour OA How meeting. It's not this format. Thank you, Megan. But it was enough. It was enough in that meeting that day. I'll never forget it. It was a Sunday afternoon. It was at a local church here in town. It was 90 minutes. And the way it worked, when a newcomer came, everyone told their story. Everyone had 2 to 4 minutes to tell their story. And I heard my story. It was just, yep, I've done that. I've done that. I've done that. And I sat in my car for another 90 minutes after that meeting, crying just with relief. It's like finding out your diagnosis from the doctor. You go doctor to doctor to doctor, and no one knows what's wrong with you. So at least there's a diagnosis. And there's still a big battle, but you at least know the enemy so you can fight. I came into this program because I got a new job as a direct result of being in program before, and that 1 hour How, it's not this structured, but it was enough to get me out of the food. And by that, I mean, I was only binging once a month, and I really didn't think there was anything better until coming into this program. The honesty has overwhelmed me because I've lied, and I'm going to wrap it up here. Thank you, Megan. I've lied about everything my whole life. And one of the main things I've learned so far in program is if I can lie about my food, I can, and I will lie about everything. So just learning the structure, this works. I haven't eaten since December of 2019. That's a miracle of epic proportions. I shouldn't be here, but here we are. And if it really is, like people say, if it can work for me, if it can work for you. My time's up. That wasn't the most structured thing I had in my mind, but that's what came out. So I hope that helps someone. And thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Heather.
Letting me babble. Ooh, I would like to introduce Chris J, our guest speaker this evening, who will qualify for 20 minutes. Chris, would you please let Megan know how you would like to be timed this evening?
Sure. Thank you, Heather. I would like a 6, 6, and an 8.
Okay, so you want when 6 minutes have passed,
and
then
right.
When you have 8 minutes left.
And I'd like to know when 12, right, correct.
Okay, is that it?
That's it. At the risk of being a needy male, yes, thank you.
Not a problem, bye now.
All right. Well, what was it like then and what's it like now? I'm going to try to divide this story into 3 parts. And the first part will be what I call the darkness. The second part will be how I got to the light. And then the third part will be the light. So I started out in a very kind and loving family. It was a Polish immigrant family. My parents were refugees of the Second World War, and they were sponsored here by a very generous air conditioning executive in Nashville, Tennessee. They got their first start here and then moved up to Detroit automotive jobs. And they put me through, we're Polish, so a lot of times that means Catholic also. So I was raised in a Polish Catholic family. Went to private school, went to a Jesuit high school, Jesuit college, the University of Detroit. And, but I always was chubby. And I remember the Polish hospitality was already in my genes at the age of 2 when my sister was born. They tell me that I took a piece of sausage from the refrigerator and I offered it to her in the crib. So that was already going on, and And I belong to a lot of Polish-American organizations. I was in Polish cultural dancing, Polish language school, and Polish Boy Scouts. So I was kept off the street at least three days out of the week. And I could really relate to that My Big Fat Greek Wedding theme in that movie, because I kind of lived that Polish style. So there was always banquets involved in all three of these activities. And boy, did they have the Polish food there. I mean, I'm not going to mention specifics, but for those of you familiar, you know what they are. And so that was always plentiful. And I was always chubby, and that was considered healthy. That was okay. I was never corrected for being chubby. So fast forward to high school, getting interested in girls. So I wanted to get get a handle on my weight. And I was successful with some grapefruit diets. I went out for football freshman year, but my parents wouldn't sign the insurance waivers. So since I had 6 years of piano behind my belt, classically trained, I decided to be a band geek. So I learned how to play sousaphone or tuba. I held my chair all 4 years, very proud. Went and got second place in the Wayne State Solo and Ensemble Festival. Self-taught on tuba, but I had all the theory and everything down from 6 years of piano. So actually a piece of cake. And I had no problem at social events, asking girls to dance. I remember as a freshman, I worked my way from freshman, and I thought, well, let me see if I can ask a sophomore to dance. Yes, she wanted to dance. And then I worked my way up to a senior. And I just had no qualms about dancing, because I already had a sense of rhythm in Polish cultural dance. So I could move. So anyway, that was fine. But along the way, when I was around eighth grade, backtracking a little bit, I found a half-burned black and white porn magazine in a field on the way home from school. And that kind of started to short-circuit my psychosexual development. But I was the perfect gentleman when I was around women. That was just my little dark, dirty secret, which was later lifted thanks to my faith tradition. Thank God. So now I look at women as either my mothers, my sisters, or my daughters, and no Mr. in between. So college. College was, I was more in love with the idea of college than actually the hard work. Short version of that. I joined Air Force ROTC because my friend was in it. And I joined it more because my friend was in it than I really, you know, really had buy-in. But then he had a heart murmur and he had to leave the program. So I was kind of like, do I really want to be in this? But I toughed it out and I did well my first year. I got on the dean's list. And then looking back through the lens of program, I noticed I had my first sense of grandiosity. I switched majors to chemical engineering because my high achieving friends were in chemical engineering and just being in regular chemistry wasn't good enough. And that's where I crashed and burned. I'm in these classes of statics and stresses and I'm like, what am I doing here? These guys are all getting it and I don't get this. So, and I also was too proud to get help from a counselor. I basically crashed and burned in engineering. Got a letter from the dean saying, yeah, you have an incredible list of failures here. We have to let you go. So it's the 60s going on the 70s. The Beatles are going. The Cream and Hendrix are going. Led Zeppelin's tuning up. And I decided just to kind of check out and do a Timothy Leary. And I became enslaved to a feel-good culture, love, sex, and rock and roll, selfish sex, though. It was more about the music than anything else. I wasn't a predator in the bars or any of that kind of stuff. When I went to bars, it was for live music. That's what I craved. and still do it today. I got to watch it. So I just kind of lived like a Rolling Stone, actually. I think I took rock lyrics as my Bible. My mother had twins, and they did not thrive before she had me. So I was kind of treated like bubble boy. Let nothing happen to this child. And, you know, before I was even thinking about buying my own clothes, they were already hanging up in the closet. So I was kind of really, really overprotected. God bless my mom. She loved me like heck. But it felt kind of smothering. So I ended up bolting out of the house, got an apartment upstairs from a rock and roll lounge that my friend from high school was managing. He was still in ROTC, Air Force ROTC. I had already bailed. And it was just this rock and roll lifestyle I was living. And I was a bouncer at this bar, and I got free room and board and whatever I got paid as a bouncer. And I thought I had it made. And it was a very selfish, feel good driven lifestyle. And until this bar was owned by a motorcycle gang, and a rival motorcycle gang were owed money, and they came in one day and just tore the place up, groped women, acted like pigs. And that was my red flag that I need to come home. So like the prodigal son with his tail between his legs, I came back home to my mom and dad, repentant, gave up that whole lifestyle. There was plenty of marijuana going on at that time. I gave that up and gave up the drinking. Luckily, I didn't develop into a full-blown alcoholic, so that was a blessing. But, you know, food was the last to go. And I remember I went out one day to a bakery, and I think I got some baked goods and a half gallon of ice cream, and I was just tearing this thing apart in my room, and my dad walked in on me like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just burned up with embarrassment and shame. And so that should have been a clue that I had a problem and that I should probably get some help for it, but I didn't. So I joined the Air Force. I enlisted because I still felt the need to serve. And it was a good move. My father agreed. Yeah, it was a good move. And so I enlisted in 1976, the bicentennial, and I did great in basic training. I over-exercised for an entire year before I went in. I ran 5 miles a day, which was crazy. But I got down to my ideal weight, and I sailed through basic training. All the physical requirements, they were only worried about my sweating. I sweated a lot, but so what? I didn't pass out on any of this stuff. It, you know, Air Force is not quite as grueling as Army and Marines. So, but I sailed through that, got to my training base in Aurora, Colorado. Real tough tour of duty, eh? Aurora, Colorado. I wanted to go to Germany so I can go to see relatives in Poland, but that was not to be. And when I lost the structure of basic training, and I was pretty much on my own to a certain degree on the training base in Aurora, Colorado, Lowry Air Force Base, I started to put the pounds back on. And it was really disturbing. I was having trouble getting the pounds off. And I kept on getting counsel about it. And I remember my first day on that base, I go into my barracks and I smell this sweet leafy smell that I'm very familiar with. And I'm like, I left civilian life going into military life to leave all that crap behind. And not, here it is, you know, there's the pot going on in my barracks. And I go into my first dorm room and there's the porn all over the table there by the easy chairs. And before I knew it, I was just sucked into that stuff. And I got the idea that one day, instead of going to dorm guard, like a lot of other guys did and were covered for it, I just decided I'd do a day trip to Colorado Springs. And guess what? I got caught. I got caught and I got on the short list to be honorably discharged. I couldn't believe it. I think my higher power was with me the entire time, even though I was making terrible decisions about food, about the other stuff, and not taking my responsibilities as an airman on my training base. So here I am on a plane back home, demoralized, kicked out of the Air Force with an honorable discharge. And so my dad got me a job, and I worked in a chemical mixing plant where he was an engineer, and crashed and burned that. Then he got me another job in a hospital as a environmental services guy, and crashed and burned that. So I went back to school on the GI Bill, which was a full GI Bill back then. That was the last year. And I started looking around. Before I crashed and burned that hospital job, I did hire in from environmental services to a NIH research position, because I did have some smarts and I interviewed well. And I worked that for about a year and a half. And then I poked around and I liked laboratory life. I poked around the clinical lab and that's what I liked. And so I went back to school. I went back to community college and still had the weight problem. Food was last to go. Got rid of the pot, got rid of the other stuff. And I started to get my life back together again, going to class. And then my credits transferred to Wayne State University. I entered the medical technology program and still living with my folks. My last ditch attempt to bond with my dad, I joined a Polish choir that he sang in, and there I met my wife, my beautiful wife, and got married and three kids, put them through good schools, and food was still a problem. I was perfect for my wedding day, and I was ballooning up again in a few years, and family members are asking, why can't he lose the weight? My wife's asking me, why can't you just stop eating? And I was like a doe in the headlights. I didn't know. So in my Catholic faith tradition, I kept confessing the same overeating sins, and then Monday going to do the same thing, maybe even Sunday, just starting to overeat again. And my priest was savvy enough to timed me out and said, you know, you're never going to get out of this spiral. You need to go to a therapist. So I went to a therapist. How am I doing on time?
Hey, Chris, you have about 5 minutes left. The prompts are in the chat. I'm sorry if you didn't realize that.
Yeah. No, I did. I'm okay. Just in my rhythm here. So thank you.
5 minutes.
All right. So I went to a therapist. The therapist evaluated me. I had been medicating my entire life with food primarily and the other stuff, but that other stuff was gone by then. And she gave me a pamphlet of meetings, and the closest one to me was an OA How meeting. So I went straight into OA How, and my first impressions were, what are these crazy skinny women who are spilling their guts here? You know, how are they going to help me? But I knew that this was the last stop, and I kept coming back to the meetings, and I started hearing my own food history from these women, and it was like, God, give me a guy to do this. No guide was provided. I was not going to do this with another guy. It was the women that were giving me the message. And I got serious. I got a sponsor. I got the tools. I got the big book, the 12 and 12. And I started in earnest with a 10-pound a month straight line drop in weight. It took me a year to get to my ideal weight, 123 pounds later. So the physical recovery was in full swing. Meetings, sharing, and not bottling anything up inside me anymore so it could explode later on in my family. That was gone. Amends to my family, amends to my sister, amends to scout leaders that I thought had it out for my son because he could play soccer better than their son. My oldest eagled, my youngest got as far as star. And if I had to do it over again, I would have had him in just sports and not scouts. But anyway, it's been amends to my wife and working on my marriage. My spiritual life got deeper. I'm in a scripture study with men at my parish, St. Lawrence. Well, now my parish is Our Lady of Częstochowa, where we got married. And deeper in my spiritual life, I belong to Apostolic VA, which is about spiritual direction and spiritual growth in my faith tradition. And I had a calling to the married diaconate, but I kept hearing, work on your marriage, work on your marriage, work on your marriage. So I've been doing that. Very attentive to my wife, inviting my wife in when I'm doing a project and I've been frustrated for a half hour and she can see the solution in like 3 minutes. So it's no longer me shutting her out of my male zone because I'm doing something that I consider male. I bring her in and it works great. I'm attentive to her. During this whole COVID thing, we've been repainting the house. I'm in a service position. I'm a medical technologist in a hospital laboratory. That has been a blessing. My job is service to the sick. It's not a paycheck. It hasn't been a paycheck for the last 13 years. Service is the key to recovery, and a very important key to get out of your ego, serving your sponsees, making those phone calls, going to meetings and sharing whatever is eating you so you don't eat over it. Completely avoiding, I can't do anger. I can't do anger. Every time I try to put it out in my family, I started pouring more fuel on the fire. So I back away and go for a walk, go for a drive, let the two people that are hashing it out, hash it out. So, and that seems to work a lot better. So working on my marriage. My daughter's getting married in London, England next month. So that has been a cause of concern. Like, gee, where's my passport? Well, my passport came 2 weeks ago and we just bought tickets yesterday. And we'll have to quarantine for 14 days. And then the next day after day 14 is my daughter's wedding. So I've been using program to talk to my sponsor about this and not stress out and not frazzle out and not frazzle out over stuff that's going on in the country and staying away from social media and just finding quiet spaces every morning, quiet space with prayer, meditation. Evening, same thing before I go to bed, prayer, meditation. I use a devotional called Magnificat, but that's you know, I'm not selling Magnificat on this meeting. I'm just selling recovery. Recovery works on a threefold level, physical, emotional, spiritual. My marriage has never been better. My fatherhood has never been better with my kids. I'm a grandfather now, and it's been great. It's been a great ride. It's amazing what can happen one day at a time, and that is what I love. One day at a time, very manageable. All I have to do is wake up and put one foot in front of the other that day, and that's it. You know, and COVID kind of simplified things. I go to work, I come home. I go to work, I come home. And you just roll with the punches. And I've learned to lean into challenges. I don't run away from them. I lean into them. And I embrace them and I dance with them until they get tired of dancing. And then that's when usually things start to happen. Plenty of prayer, plenty of conscious contact with your higher power, as you understand, however that is. And so I'd just like to conclude with a prayer. God, I pray that I be shown all through the day what my next step is to be. I pray that I be given whatever I need to take care of such problems. I especially ask for the freedom of self-will, and I ask to be given strength only if others will be helped. And my prayer is that I hope that something I said today may help somebody out there. Thank you very much for allowing me to share, and thank you, because without you, I could not maintain my abstinence. And I pass.
Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, Christopher.
Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you.
Amazing. My clock says 7:56 p.m. Central Time. So I'm going to close our meeting today. I want to thank you all for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Christopher, who offered so much of himself.
Yay, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Would someone like to read just for today? You can raise your hand in the participants list or turn on your video, I think.
I don't see the person who signed up online here.
I'll read it.
Okay.
Last call, if anyone wants to read it. Okay. All right. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things that I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. We would also like to thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease. Yay! Adam and
Yay! Yay, thank you.
We appreciate you so much. Thank you. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in? Let's pray for those still suffering. God,
grant me
serenity
to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can,
and wisdom to know the difference.
I will
know
mine.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Heather.
You did a great job.
Thanks, Chris.
Oh, thanks, everyone.
Heather.
Thank you guys for being here. Yeah, thank you, Howard.
Thank you,
Howard.
Connect. Bye.
Right. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, Christina.
My pleasure.
Thanks.